Welcome to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study God's Word verse by verse. Living the Adventure and our program, which immediately follows this broadcast, Three Guys and a Mic, is hosted by City Church Ministries. Why not invite a friend to join you in listening as we learn together from God's Word? Join us immediately following the Living Adventure for our live discussion of our lesson on Three Guys and a Mic Radio, where we seek to understand the lesson for the day and give expression from the experience of our Three Guys team to practically apply God's Word on a daily basis. I want to thank you, give thanks to all who support these broadcasts and helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. If you are enjoying these studies from God's Word, would you consider partnering with us to help in the financial cost to produce these programs each week? Every donation helps in extending God's Word of truth. You can write us here at CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California 92195. You can drop us an encouraging word or question or any comment that you might have. And also, make out a check to CCM if you're going to support the broadcast, and it'll get to us there through the P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego 92195. And also, there are those that give through PayPal, www.paypal@sdccm.org. Another way of giving, and make sure that you mark your gift as a friend. I thank you for it right now. And at the end of the year, we'll send you a tax receipt. Now, let's pray and begin today's lesson in Colossians. We're picking up in chapter 1 and verse 3 today. Father, in Jesus' name, again, we come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in time of need. Father, today as we study Colossians, as we continue to follow Paul and what he's saying to the church there at Colossae, we ask you to touch us. Open our heart, cause us to hear the word of the Lord and to enter in to the instructions that your servant Paul brings to us and that you've chosen to put together in the canon of Scripture, your word, to the human race. And so we open our hearts that we might receive boldly from you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we kicked off our study in Colossians in chapter 1. And today we're going to pick up at verse 3, get as far as we can. But I want to read the context here, verse 3. Through 8, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear brother, fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. What a beautiful introduction here, a beautiful greeting that Paul gives. And he starts off, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, I want to just say that gratitude for the saints is really an apostolic value. The apostolic is first responsible to the Lord for the word that they carry. It is a word directly from the Lord for his people. They unfold the mysteries of Christ's kingdom. We would not know those mysteries or keys without the grace that the apostles of Christ were given. They're also directly connected to the saints of God. They are sent to teach, to encourage, and to correct God's people. They are also the first line of defense in the protection of God's people from the works of darkness and false teachers. Now, I want to, again, emphasize, you've heard me say it before, if you've been following us for any length of time, God wants to restore and return us to that apostolic foundation. There will never be apostles like those apostles. Again, I emphasized it in the book of Ephesians. They were given to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father, including the Apostle Paul. He was came a little later. He said, one born out of due time, but he was chosen to do a work for Christ. And Christ personally, just like he did with the other apostles, chose him and called him to his place of ministry. Those apostles laid the foundation for the church. Now, through 2,000 years of church history, many things have changed, but their word has not changed. So God is seeking to help his church come back and understand clearly apostolic values, the word that they carried. And the influence of apostolic today is not about building something different than what these apostles gave us, not at all. We have to be very careful of that. What we must understand in apostolic grace today is to bring us back to them. It's to bring us back to the Word of God. It's to build upon the foundation which Christ gave through these men. Now, as I said, gratitude for the saints is an apostolic value. The apostolic is first responsible to the Lord for the word that they carry. And as I mentioned, it's a direct word from the Lord, the unfolding of the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, there's a very special connection between the apostolic and the saints of God. The scriptures reveal this special relationship. And it comes through the elders of the church in all these various cities. Here we're talking about the city of Colossae. And in that city, there were leaders, elders, that gave oversight and care to the church. And really, when you talk about these letters, the letters were really written to the leaders. They were written to those elders who shared them with the people that made up the church of that locality. The scriptures, again, reveal this very special relationship and foundation which the apostles laid for the church in a city and or region. Now, I believe that the Lord wants to rebuild that kind of faith and love in every city. This is the apostolic governmental realm. And the city elders, which daily pastor God's people, are connected to that. We moved away from this model after the first century, and we're beginning to once again see the Lord bring restoration of this apostolic and eldership relationship that we find in the New Testament church. It's a part of God's governmental oversight of the saints. Now, let me just note on a personal level, in my 64 years of walking with the Lord, I've observed that God's people miss a lot of the benefits our Lord has provided for his people because we are not aligned with heaven's plan. With all our divisions and the private interpretation of scriptures that have emerged over 2,000 years of church history, it has prevented God's plan and purpose through his body to be fully realized. God has a divine order, which those early apostles understood and imparted to God's people as the early church emerged. Heaven and Christ's throne were always meant to be headquarters for the church. Part of the apostolic function was to give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the saints. This is not just a nice thought, but a powerful governmental function of the apostolic mantle. Paul's expression of gratitude for the saints at Colossae released power and authority for those saints to operate in a high realm of faith and authority. Right there in their city, right there in their region. It is a missing realm today that the Lord wants to restore to his church. I believe that we are moving back to this understanding of prayer and authority, a united church under proper kingdom government, and what that brings. But we still have a ways to go to match what the early church was able to accomplish through this, what I'm calling a valid apostolic government. The second part is prayer for the saints. Paul's words are not exaggeration, but a truthful expression of his daily communication on behalf of the saints. Paul understood his role as Christ's apostle. Verse 3 should call us up into a higher realm of time in the Lord's presence. Part of that time with the Lord is the active praying for others. Oh, this is so important, especially where we have spiritual responsibility towards the lives of people. This is why small groups, house groups, and smaller fellowships of people, sometimes called cell groups, connected to the larger body, are so important. All the saints need to know that they are prayed for and connected to valid kingdom authority within the body of Christ. Now, an example today might be that a pastor of a small church, let's say of 100 people, needs to raise up pastoral care so that every person has a connection in the body. A connection to others in that body, and to a leader who also is covered and accountable. Even that pastor needs to be related, and others know who he is accountable to. There are not to be any lone rangers in Christ's body. The first place of covering is in the area of gratitude and prayer. Do I know that I am appreciated and that I am personally covered by prayer? What stimulated Paul's gratitude and a sense of responsibility? That's the question of the day. That's the question that we need to answer. What was it that stimulated Paul's gratitude? What was it that caused him to have a sense of responsibility toward these saints? Well, he defines it. He says it was their faith in Christ, their love for all the saints. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, there in verse 4, it is that absolute faith in Christ alone that is the cord that binds us together. As I traveled in the nation, I found it the same everywhere I go. The faith of the saints of Christ Jesus. That is, the experience of living with others in their living experience. To observe how they lived out their Christian experience. To be knit together by prayer and Christ's kingdom manifested in their city and nation. And praying for individuals and their personal needs. Oh, how important this is. When the time together had expired, it was time to depart. A rich love had been established. These saints now became part of my prayer responsibility. I still hear from relationships that were born 35 years ago in places like Pakistan, India, China, Africa, Russia, Cuba, and of course Mexico. This is the power of the gospel of the kingdom of God connected around the world through faith and love expressed through prayer. Now, Paul pulls this together when he says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. There in verse 5, part A. And then divide verse 5 up into two sections. Hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now, again, let me emphasize that heaven is headquarters. Everything flows from the throne of God. The government of God's kingdom originates in heaven, where Christ sits. We're going to see this later in more detail as we go through Colossians. He is the head of the body, Colossians 1:18 says. Everything we have, everything we need is hidden in Christ. As Paul states in Colossians 2:3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is where the center of our hope is located. He alone is the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2 tells us. We must learn to see one another in Christ Jesus. It is in his spirit at work in each believer to bring forth his body united by his shed blood and his Holy Spirit indwelling each believer and the priesthood of every believer by prayer and supplication in conjunction to our Lord's high priestly place as the scripture records, high priest of our confession. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hebrews 4:14. Beloved, our confession is connected to our high priest, to Jesus himself, seated in heaven. And around the world, as you go, every believer is connected through that confession that Jesus is Lord. He is Savior. He is the one that God has raised up. He is the one that ever lives to make intercession for us. He is our high priest. He is the one who presents us to the Father and intercedes on our behalf. We should have understood these things from the beginning of our hearing of the word of truth of the gospel. And that's the second part of this verse, 5. The word of truth of the gospel. The good news is not just that our sins have been cleansed, but it is the good news that Christ has overcome the kingdom of darkness and reigns from heaven above as God's appointed king. In that word of truth, it is revealed that we too reign with Christ and are joined together as a kingdom of priests that intercede for one another, that pray for all the saints. If we come to Christ and this is left out, we miss much of the essence of the word of truth of the gospel. Well, it goes on to say in verse 6, which has come to you. So he's talking to the church at Colossae, and he's saying, this gospel, this word that I'm talking about, it has come to you. But not only you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit. The gospel went out through the entire Roman Empire of that day, the world that was known. At that time, the gospel of Jesus began in Jerusalem and went from Jerusalem throughout Judea and from Judea to the uttermost parts of the world. And it began to bring forth fruit. Everywhere the gospel went, everywhere in the world, fruit came out of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we touched on that last week as we looked at 1 Corinthians 15 and saw Paul defining very clearly the gospel. And that gospel, the good news of the kingdom, has brought us out of darkness into light. We're going to see that in the chapter here of chapter 1. We're going to see that he translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And so it's being fruitful. It's been fruitful down through 2,000 years of church history. The gospel continues to penetrate and go around the world, that more and more nations, more and more people groups are starting to hear the gospel. There has been an increase of that in the last 100 years or more, as mission emphasis has taken place, as men and women, young and old, have been sent out all over the world from various nations to declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring to others the message of the grace of God. So, Paul goes on to say, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister on your behalf. Now, I want you to see the connection there. Here is one of the laborers that labored with Paul, a dear fellow servant, a faithful minister, as Paul calls him, a faithful minister of Christ. And he was part of this apostolic government, this apostolic team that God had raised up, and there were many aspects to the apostles, and Peter had a team, and John had a team, and all the different apostles had a team that connected with them, traveled with them, and had as they preached the gospel, brought forth fruit throughout the Roman Empire. And that word, as it was canonized, as it continued to be preached, has brought forth fruit. And so multitudes in the world today have heard the good news of the gospel. Many have responded, but there's many more that God wants to bring in to his kingdom plan and his kingdom purpose. So understanding that we've been called into this relationship with heaven to bring forth fruit. How do we do that? Well, just in the very same way that the gospel was preached to you, as you receive the good news of Christ's kingdom, that he died and rose again and is alive forevermore and seated at the right hand of the Father, and that his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and that he raises us up out of this world, out of this present age, out of this darkness, and he causes us to be joined with him in heaven. And that even though we're still living on this earth, living out this life, testifying and witnessing to others, we already have a place in heaven, seated with Christ. We saw that all the way back in the first chapter of Ephesians as we were going through it. And not only that, is that there is a day when Christ comes to judge the world, when Christ receives and those that are present, that still are alive, and those that have died ahead. He raises from the dead and then takes those that are still here and were caught up together with him, as the Bible says, forever to be with the Lord. Paul calls it a mystery. And you can read about it over there in 1 Corinthians 15 and elsewhere. And it's a mystery. We've tried to resolve the mystery, but we don't do a very good job of it. All kinds of different ideas and understanding. But we need to just come back and take Paul at his word. We just need to understand the apostles as they saw things. We need to see through their eyes. It'll deal with a lot of confusion. It'll deal with a lot of the misapplication of Scripture. Now, Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, God is looking for servants. Every one of us have been called to be servants of the Lord. There isn't anybody listening to the sound of my voice that has embraced Christ that isn't called to be a servant of Christ. Now, that servanthood might take on different forms, but you're still called as a servant of Christ. And not only a servant, but you're called to be a faithful minister. Minister just means servant. It just means to serve others, to minister to others. So a faithful minister of Christ is the reputation that Epaphras had. Paul says he was a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. So he brings it into focus that this brother served the church at Colossae. But who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So he also brought back to the apostles, in this case Paul, information, encouragement about the church and how the church is doing and how their faith is bringing the word of truth to others and how others are being brought into the kingdom. So it's a two-way street. The church praying for the apostle praying for the church thankful for the apostolic ministry, the apostle thankful for all the different ones praying for all the saints. Can you see the picture that God's putting together here? A church united in prayer around the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated in heaven, connected and aligned with heaven to bring forth God's purpose and will in the earth. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for giving us a few minutes together. Thank you for this teaching right out of Colossians and this introduction. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, deepen us in our own revelation, our own understanding, and our own walk before you as ministers of the gospel. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and walk with the King.